spake by the prophets, and I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we open up our hearts to you this morning, and we ask, Lord, that the seed of your word will fall on good soil. Let us be hearers and also doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our 7 a.m. service. Well, today is Bible Sunday, so I've chosen to preach on a topic that relates to the Word of God. And my sermon is titled, Make Time for a Meeting with God. You can find a copy of the sermon outline in the church bulletin. Well, just imagine two trees, T-R-E-E-S. One tree is tall, healthy, strong, luscious, and full of fruit. And the other tree is small, scrawny, stunted, and barren. Now, of the two trees, which tree would you choose to be? And of course, the obvious choice would be, I want to be the tall, luscious, evergreen, and fruitful tree. The tree that is described in Psalm chapter 1. A tree that is planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. What, according to the psalmist, is the secret of staying evergreen, alive, and fruitful? The secret is to keep away from ungodly influences and to take delight in God's word, to meditate on it day and night. The tree in Psalm 1 draws its life and its vitality from the streams of water. The tree depicts a person whose life and whose vitality comes from constant meditation on God's word. How vibrant is your Christian life? For me, the times when I felt most spiritually alive are the times when I have been nourished by the Word of God. Recently, I took some days off to spend time in God's presence. Before that, I was having a couple of late nights, and so when I got to the retreat center, I was feeling very tired. But when I could really slow down at the retreat and take time to meditate on God's Word, God spoke to me about the very thing that I needed most at that point in time. And that very thing was rest. I was reading Psalm 62 in the NIV, and verses 1 and 2 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." And these words were somewhat repeated further on in verses 5 and 6 of the same psalm. My soul finds rest in God alone. He alone is my fortress. I will never be shaken. When I recalled the few days preceding the retreat, I realized that I had been shaken by anxiety, by exhaustion, and in the process, I had lost my rest in God. Taking time to rest in God, both physically and spiritually, enabled me to appreciate the reality of what the psalmist wrote. God is my rock and my fortress, in whom I shall not be shaken. And in rest, I could see more clearly God's perspectives and God's purposes for me. In Psalm 84, verses 5 and 7, it also talks about our strength being in God. God reminded me that I needed His rest and His strength, because I am merely a jar of clay. This came from my meditations on 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And though this jar holds a divine treasure that is the gospel, God told me that it is still a jar of clay, that I needed to hold on, or rather that I need to hold my human frailty with tenderness, because God holds me with tenderness. And when I read that, my heart began to leap within me as I paused to ponder and to thank God for his loving kindness towards me. He knows that I am frail. He knows that I'm merely a jar of clay, and he cares for me. You know, early on we sang many hymns about God's faithfulness. Well, the day before I was having lunch, and suddenly I had this overwhelming sense of God's faithfulness, God's faithful provision for every resource that I would ever need. And my heart just overflowed with thanksgiving to him. My eyes welled up in tears. And I just sat with the Lord with tears streaming down my cheeks, thanking him profusely for his assurances to me. Indeed, our souls can find rest in God alone, for he alone will provide all that we need to live an abundant and a fruitful life. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said he came to give life, and life in all its abundance. Satan is continually trying to steal our time away from God by offering us many distractions, many attractions that do not nourish our souls and our spirits, but drain the very life out of us. And these can even be good things. But if our lives are just filled with activities, if we are running from one activity to the next without being present with God, and he's not in any of those things that we do, then we are only doing in our own strength, and soon we will burn out. Service to God can only be meaningful if it flows out of communion with God. Communion with God through prayer and through the Word is important. We seek God in prayer, and we hear his thoughts and his heart through his Word. Let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves, do we really believe that what God has to say to us is of utmost importance? If we do, then surely we must take the time to have regular meetings with God. A story is told by Bill Hybels. Bill Hybels is a well-known author and also the senior pastor of a church in America. And Bill shared this conversation he had with a young Christian from his church. Well, for ease of reference, we'll call him Tom. Tom was a very successful sales executive. And one day, Tom told Bill, "I really have no time to meet with God because I have a very, very busy work schedule." Bill told Tom that from his experience, he would always be able to make time for the things that he valued. And if he doesn't value something, then he won't make time for it. He encouraged Tom to have a meeting with God in any way that Tom wanted. And months later, Bill met Tom again, and he noticed there was a change in Tom's countenance, in the way Tom spoke. And Tom invited Bill to his house for dinner. And in that house, he showed Bill a rocking chair. Because Bill had challenged Tom to have a meeting with God and to make time for it. And Tom could make this enjoyable by looking at something Tom enjoyed. So Tom bought this rocking chair and he placed it in his kitchen that overlooked the backyard. And he enjoyed looking to the backyard. And he would wake up 15 minutes to half an hour every day. He would sit in that rocking chair with his coffee and meet with God. He would ask God to speak to him. He would read God's word and meditate on it, reflect on it, and he would note what God spoke to him in his journal. He prayed that he would be more aware of God's presence in his life. And Tom's wife shared that since Tom started sitting on that rocking chair every day, he was a changed man. His life had been more centered, and he had become a more gentle and loving man to his wife and to his children. Months later, Tom told Bill that he wanted to leave his job and help Bill to build the church. When Bill asked where he got that idea from, Tom said it was from his meetings with God in that chair. Bill asked him to please confirm that this is what he actually heard from God, because he did not want to take responsibility for Tom's life. Later, Tom actually quit his job. And he came to Bill, he said he still wanted to help Bill to build the church, even though Bill could not pay him. Tom was very hardworking. He was a joyful staff, and he contributed much to the church. One day, Tom approached Bill again, and this time he said he felt a stirring in his heart to help a friend who was starting a church in Colorado. This friend could not pay him, so Tom had to go back to work. So Tom left for Colorado with his family, and he went back to work, and he was very successful. He made lots of money, and most of the money he gave to his friend's church. And soon the church grew and became a very successful church. Then the day came when Tom had to sit in his rocking chair to process a medical report which confirmed that he had cancer. He became very sick, as the cancer was a very fast-spreading kind of cancer. When Tom was in hospital, he told Bill that the greatest loss he felt was that he did not have his chair with him. Later, Tom died, and his widow told Bill that the rocking chair would be passed on to the children and to the grandchildren in the hope that someone would sit in that chair and have their life transformed. The question Bill posed to those listening to the story is, where is your chair? Where is the place where you can be aware of God's presence and be transformed by His power? Your chair can be anywhere because God is everywhere. And this true story reminds me of God's promise in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts. God speaks to his sheep when we seek him with all our hearts. But what is the condition of your heart and mine? In Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15, Jesus told a parable of a sower who sowed seed. And as the sower was scattering seed, they fell on four different kinds of ground. The first kind of ground was the path. The seed which fell on the path was trampled underfoot and was eaten by the birds. The second kind of ground was a rock which had little moisture, and so when the plant grew, it soon withered. The third kind of ground was thorny. The thorns grew up with the plant and soon choked it. And the last kind of ground was good soil, where the seed took root, grew, and bore fruit. The seed is God's word, and the four kinds of ground represent the four different kinds of conditions of our hearts. The path represents the heart that is hardened towards God's word and rejects God's word outright. The rock represents the heart that receives the word of God, but the word hasn't really sunk in and makes little impact in the person's life. The thorns represent the heart that is distracted by many things, things that choke the word out of the person's life. The good soil represents the heart that is ready to receive the word and embraces it totally so that the word in him or her can take root and grow and bear fruit. This passage has often been used to refer to the different kinds of heart conditions of non-Christians who respond differently to the gospel. But I believe it also refers to the heart conditions of Christians who respond differently to God's word. I remember the time when my heart was like a path. I totally rejected God's word on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was very skeptical about this new phenomena. I felt I didn't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was doing fine as a Christian, but it was only when I became spiritually so dry and even on the point of spiritually dying that I opened up my heart to God and to His Word to really listen to what God had to say to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I started to read the Bible and I started to read books on it. Slowly, my heart became good soil. And with greater understanding, there was birthed in me a desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I asked God for that. And He baptized me and He gave me the gift of tongues. And for me, it was a watershed experience. it totally transformed my Christian life. For the seed that fell on a rock, a story is told of a young man who had always rejected the gospel. And even though he was disinterested in the gospel, he signed up for a Christian camp because he wanted to join in the fun activities there. But during the camp, the Holy Spirit convicted him that he accepted Christ into his life. In his own words, he felt the search of the Holy Spirit. But he was too distracted by the things of the world. And he didn't attend church, he didn't pray, he didn't read his Bible. 10 years later, he had a Christian employer who helped him find his way back to God. He experienced God's divine protection when he miraculously escaped death in a car accident. For the 10 years after he accepted Christ, his heart was rocky ground. Well, there are many thorns that grow alongside the seed of God's word in our lives. It can be anything. Anything that crowds out time with God. It could be our jobs. It could be a hobby. It could be anything. Anything that crowds out time with God. Well, what kind of ground are you and I? Will we open up our hearts and give God enough room to seed and root His word in us? Well, God's word is not a textbook that we read to gather information about science, about history. These are things that we can discover for ourselves through research. But God's word is primarily God's revelation of Himself to us, of His plans and His purposes, of His salvation. These are things that cannot be discovered or read, but revealed by God. God reveals His overarching plan of salvation in His word, and He tells us how we fit into that plan. The Bible tells us, firstly, that God saves us to make us His sons and His daughters, who no longer live according to the dictates of the flesh, but who are led by His Spirit. Our minds, which have been conditioned to think as the world does, need to be renewed by the word of God. Romans 12:2. Our hearts, which value the things of the world, need to change, to treasure the things of God. Matthew 6:19-21. Our inner attitudes, our speech, and our actions, which were worldly, need to be brought into alignment with the word of God. Philippians 2:1-16, Ephesians 4:29-32. I'll leave you to read through those scripture references in your own time. In fact, the whole of our lives need to be brought under the divine scrutiny of God's word so that we can grow into Christ's likeness. In Hebrews 4:12-13, we read, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." The word of God exposes the innermost thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Nothing is hidden from God. And the scripture exposes our inner thoughts and intentions so that we may be brought into alignment with God's will and purposes for our lives. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, that God will sanctify His disciples in the truth. And God's word is truth. We need to be sanctified, to be made holy by being renewed in the truth of God's word. And this is a lifelong process. Are we willing? Are we willing to let God sanctify us by His word? God's word is the standard by which we must live. So firstly, the Bible tells us that God saved us to make us His children so that we may live not according to the dictates of the flesh, but according to His Spirit. And secondly, the Bible tells us that God has a purpose for each one of our lives. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we will discover God's purpose for us as we read His Word. And for myself, that has been so true. In 1993, I heard God calling me into the full-time ministry when I read Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. But then He said I was not to leave my job just yet. 5 years later, in 1998, I felt a stirring in my spirit to leave my job. And God confirmed it through a prophetic word that was spoken over me by someone in Faith Community Baptist Church. In 2007, 9 years after I entered the full-time ministry, I was wrestling with issues concerning the pastoral ministry. And again, God confirmed my call to remain in the ministry through Exodus chapter 3. I didn't choose to read Exodus chapter 3 at that time. It was given to me to read. The person who asked me to read this text didn't know my struggles. And God was the one who used him to speak to me through that text. And then 9 years later, 2016, God confirmed his call for me to oversee a particular ministry in the church, again through Exodus chapter 3. And again, I didn't choose to read this text. It was given to me. It's definitely not coincidence, but divine revelation. And I'm quite amazed by the clarity with which God speaks to us when we are willing to listen and to obey His Word. And God's Word has indeed been to me, in the words of Psalm 119:105, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God is life-transforming. The Word of God gives us direction in life. There are so many other things that the Word of God does for us, but time does not permit me to enumerate all of them. But you and I know how precious God's Word is. There's a beautiful hymn that we can say as a prayer as I conclude this morning's sermon. I wonder how many of you know this song, this hymn, Master, Speak, Thy Servant Heareth. Anyone of you know this very old hymn? Ah, I see one hand there. Okay, anyway, the words are on the monitor. So let us say, okay, the words of this hymn. There are 5 stanzas altogether. Let us say this as our prayer to God this morning in response to what we have heard together. Master, speak, thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I'm listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? Often through my heart is pealing many another voice than thine, many an unwilled echo stealing from the walls of this thy shrine. Let thy longed-for accents fall. Master, speak, and silence all. Master, speak, though least and lowest, let me not unheard depart. Master, speak, for oh, thou knowest all the yearning of my heart, knowest all its truest need. Speak, and make me blessed indeed. Master, speak, and make me ready when thy voice is truly heard, with obedience glad and steady, still to follow every word. I'm listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak, oh, speak to me. Speak to me by name, O Master, let me know it is to me. Speak that I may follow faster, with a step more firm and free, where the shepherd leads the flock in the shadow of the rock. Beautiful words. And you know, I can't find it in any of our hymnals, but you can Google it. Just Google the title, Master Speaks, and you can go through those words and use it as a prayer for yourself every day as you spend time with the Lord. And I'm sure the writer of this hymn, Francis Havergill, will agree with the psalmist who wrote Psalm 19. After the psalmist extolled the virtues of God's word, the psalmist concluded in verse 10 of that psalm that God's word is more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. And may that be our experience too. Let us pray. Lord, we pause. So much we have heard. We pray that our hearts will be like good soil for the seed of your word which we have heard this morning to take root and to grow and to bear fruit, the fruit of righteousness in our lives. Seal your words in our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.